I got a little beef with that boy. Saw some of the stuff that he said about me. So he's once I get back on Twitter in the off season, I got a little beef with that boy. Coming after you, Nagler. 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 Nagler.
Welcome back, Packer fans. It's Newcastle's with Nagler here to take the place of Packer Transplants Live while Corey and I are on extended hiatus due to a variety of factors, mostly because Corey and I are very busy gentlemen with lives to lead that tend to get busy around the holiday season. Speaking of the holidays, I hope you and yours had a great time over the Hanukkah/Christmas break. Back into the swing of things here at CheeseheadTV.com. Packers coming off a big victory over the Chicago Bears on Sunday night, Christmas night. Pretty impressive victory for the offense. Little consternation for Packer fans looking at the defense, but we'll get into all that as the podcast continues. First of all, as I mentioned, a few house cleaning things to get out of the way. Corey and I will be back after the new year. Those of you who have been following along here at CheeseheadTV.com for quite some time know that Corey gets very busy this time of year. He is one of the senior broadcast producers for the New Year's Eve webcast that goes around the world. The official broadcast, if you will, goes around the world. He produces the whole thing. It's pretty impressive. If you get a chance, you should check it out on New Year's Eve. If you're near a computer, I highly recommend checking out. It's pretty amazing what he puts together. He started as a low PA when he first came to New York. He's worked his way up through the broadcast division, taken over the web division, and now he kind of runs it. It's pretty impressive. Definitely check that out. In addition, Corey has taken on additional responsibilities at Livestream, his new job, where he is now the head of like international, worldwide, intergalactic production. So if you see anything with Livestream connected to it, you can pretty much bet Corey's had a hand in it. Meanwhile, myself, I've gotten added additional responsibilities at my day job. I've got a very busy family life with my three girls. Christmas time was wonderful. Like I said, I hope you all had a great holiday season. Let's dive right into it here at Newcastle's with Nagler. The Packers, 14-1, heading into the divisional showdown to end the season against the Detroit Lions. On Sunday, Mike McCarthy not quite yet laying out his plan on what he wants to do with his starters and guys potentially coming back from injury. We learned today that Chad Clifton was in with the number ones there at left tackle for a little bit during the team session that was open to the local media. It would be nice to get Chad back on the field. I think I agree with something Joe Philbin intimated earlier this week, where he said that the coaching staff, you know, is so familiar with Chad at this point that they can pretty much see him for, you know, just a handful of snaps in a game and know what they've got, whether he'll be able to help them during the stretch run through the playoffs, hopefully to the Super Bowl. I'm of the opinion, and I've said this many times, both on Twitter, on the blog, in the comment sections, where have you, that if Chad Clifton is healthy enough and he can play, he should play. I think Marshall Newhouse has done yeoman's work taking his place while Chad has been out with injury. But a healthy Chad Clifton, or a healthy enough to play Chad Clifton, is simply too good an asset, too important an asset to keep on the bench, keep Rodgers' blind side clean. Yes, we've all seen Clifton struggle from time to time down the stretch of his career, but you cannot deny that last year the guy played probably his best, his finest that he's played in his entire career after his struggles earlier in the season. The start of this season, he looked fine. He looked great. He looked as well as he ever has until he went down with that hamstring injury in Atlanta. I think putting him back in there is the right thing to do. Like Joe Philbin says, as soon as they see him, they'll know whether he's good to go or not. I think it'll be great to see him, if he's able to, see him on Sunday against the Lions. Someone I don't want to see against the Lions, and I wrote about this today at cheeseheadtv.com. Be sure to check it out. Someone I don't want to see on Sunday is Aaron Rodgers. I know lots going on with the MVP race. People want him to play. People want him to at least get the start, play a couple series, maybe a half, and then get him out, treat it as kind of like a preseason game for Aaron. I have to say I disagree. I don't want him anywhere near the field. Going back and watching that Detroit tape from the Thanksgiving game, there were a number of instances where Detroit's defensive line took it upon themselves to give Aaron a little extra business after the whistle or after the play was over. A couple times after the ball was out of his hand. One time when he had fumbled the ball and he was nowhere near the play, and he got a hearty shove to the ground, well away from the play, right in front of the ref. By the way, not flagged at all. I don't want him anywhere near that Detroit defensive line. I like Brian Urlacher's quote where he says that Detroit they play to, quote, the echo of the whistle. I think that's a very good way of putting it. They definitely try and push the envelope. And I don't think putting your MVP starting quarterback on the field against these people in a game that does absolutely nothing for you, absolutely nothing for your team, I don't think it has – I don't see the upside. I know people want to talk about momentum and talk about, clicking and playing well on offense – heading into the playoffs, but as Aaron himself pointed out today, there's very little to do with momentum when you already have a week off in between games. And I think, if anything, this offense has proven that it doesn't need a whole lot of time to get up to speed. A lot of consternation over the offseason during the lockout about the Packers not holding offseason workouts. Boom, week one, they put up a ton of points, move the ball at will against the Saints. And I think, McCarthy and Rodgers are probably thinking along those lines as well. Just listen to what Aaron had to say today at his locker.
I don't think anybody's real worried about momentum at this point. We're the number one seed. That's enough momentum. We're going to host a home playoff game. So it's tough to play in Lambeau with the crowd going and the elements. And I don't think many people are too worried about potential momentum going in, knowing that we do have a bye week the first week of the playoffs.
Speaking of the playoffs, something I wanted to address is what can only be described as the cowardice being showed by Packer fans of every stripe when it comes to who the Packers could potentially face in the playoffs. I think a little cottage industry has sprouted up regarding how the Packers could never beat team X, Y, or Z. With the Saints taking X, the 49ers taking Y, and the Giants taking Z. I mean, seriously, people, if you don't think two of three teams that the Packers have already beaten once this season, may I remind you, it's as though the Packers in the last 2 weeks have become the team that Packer fans were watching after the Detroit game last year, where all of Packer Nation wanted Mike McCarthy fired. I mean, seriously, the overreaction to the Kansas City loss and the subsequent, gashing of the defense on the ground against Chicago has all of a sudden caused every level-headed Packer fan to suddenly completely reassess where the Packers are headed in 2011. Slide back and listen to the news here, people, because I'm here to tell you, the Packers are going to win their next 2 to 3 football games. I think they'll definitely win their 2 games after Sunday, and I think they have a very good chance of winning on Sunday if Matt Flynn plays, from the start. If Aaron Rodgers starts, it's over. The Packers will win. But if Matt Flynn plays the whole game, they'll probably win that game as well. An inconsequential game, mind you. But I just don't understand how all of a sudden Packer fans are ready to jump ship. This is a team that hasn't had its starting offensive line together since week 3 of this season. Thanks to Bill Huber for pointing this out, Packer Report. And yet they're coming off a game where they had the ultimate patchwork offensive line thrown together against, you know, a pretty formidable defensive front of the Chicago Bears, giving up no sacks, allowing Aaron Rodgers to throw for 5 touchdowns, and yet, oh, they're doomed because they give up yardage on the ground in the running game. People, I can't express how antiquated that thinking is, how behind the times that, you know, summation of the events before you is, because giving up yardage on the ground means absolutely nothing if you're not giving up touchdowns, and the Packers are not giving up touchdowns. They simply don't do it. Now, did they do it against the Saints? Yes, they did. Did they do it against the Giants? Yes, they did. But they also did something else against both the Saints and the Giants, and that's what put their own touchdowns on the board. You know, put their own points on the board, which is what they will do, you know, ad infinitum. They will outscore both those teams. Aaron Rodgers is playing at a level never seen before on an NFL football field. If you don't believe me, talk to Joe Montana, the greatest quarterback ever in the modern era, who he himself says that Aaron Rodgers is playing the position as it's never been played before. People, I hope you understand the renaissance before you. JerMichael Finley, for all his faults, for as much as Packer fans want to hate him, he had it right last year, speaking to Peter King prior to the Super Bowl, when he said that Green Bay was ready for a mini dynasty. There's nothing mini about it. The second of most likely 3 or 4 Super Bowls to come in the next 5 years. So just climb on board, people. Get on board the train to Dynastyville. I know lots of newcomers to Cheesehead TV will think that I'm a bandwagoner, that I'm a homer, that I'm whatever. Longtime listeners, followers, readers of the site will tell you, you know, this is not me. This is not my everyday thing. This is not how I usually roll. I'm usually the guy pointing out everything that's wrong, pointing out what there is to worry about, what there's. And yes, there are flaws in this team. There are flaws in every team. The strengths on the Green Bay Packers, which are the quarterback, the wide receivers, the coach, the offensive play caller in Mike McCarthy, are greater than all their weaknesses, be it the defensive line, be it the linebacking core, be it A.J. Hawk, be it the play of the secondary, be it Charlie Peppra or Morgan Burnett. All of those faults, all of those weaknesses do not add up to the strengths of this Green Bay Packer team. You will see, you know, little bits like you saw after the initial opening drive against the Bears, where the Packers scored their touchdown seemingly at will, seemingly with ease against the Bears, until the Bears made the switch to their nickel group and stymied the Packers there for a couple drives until the end of the first half, where they went back, you know, no huddle in the crossing routes and hit James Jones on a deep in, and all of a sudden, boom, we're in business. And then a couple plays later, touchdown. And after that, it was off to the races. You will see little stretches like that. You will not see another game like we saw against the Chiefs. You just won't. There's not another team in this league that's got that defensive makeup, that has corners that are as strong as what the Chiefs threw at the Packers. Flowers and Carr on the outside there are very strong, coupled with the loss of Jennings and Tom Bahali putting on pressure from the outside. It was a perfect storm, people. It was a perfect storm that just happened to hit the Packers at the right time. That's not going to happen again. Especially getting Chad Clifton and Greg Jennings back, you're not going to see that again. Teams will put the pressure on, and the Packers will no doubt have their moments, and they'll have their little dry spells during the game, as they are wont to do. But in the end, McCarthy, Rodgers, and this offense is going to be too much for anybody. Definitely through the playoffs, probably in the Super Bowl as well. Now, we'll talk about that, obviously. I don't want to get anyone freaked out, so I'm not going to talk about Super Bowl matchups yet when everyone's still freaked out about the 49ers and the Saints. But, you know, just calm down, people. Just calm down. If the Saints come to Lambeau, the Packers will win. All right? So let's just calm down. Let's take it 1 week at a time. Look forward to this Lions game. And like I said, I don't want Rodgers out there. I want Matt Flynn directing traffic. I want Matt Flynn to get his last audition for general managers around the NFL. And I'll admit it, for purely selfish reason, I want that compensatory pick to be pretty high, you know? I want him to get a fat contract so the Packers get a third-round pick. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. He'll probably get a 3-year contract somewhere and a prove me kind of, you know, prove it kind of contract. And I think he'll do well. You know, I think he'll do well wherever he goes. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. So another thing that coming up on Twitter this evening, which I find fascinating, is Packer fans and their thoughts and their questions about the Ring of Honor. About what players belong in the Ring of Honor, what players don't belong in the Ring of Honor at Lambeau Field. I think this came up tonight because of the retirement, the announced retirement of Al Harris, former Packer, this year with the St. Louis Rams, said today that after Sunday will be his last game, and then he's retiring. So obviously a lot of people questioning, will Al Harris be in the Ring of Honor? No. No is the answer to that question. I love Al Harris. I love everything he did for the Packers. Obviously, his pick six in 2003 against Matt Hasselbeck will go down as one of the greatest moments in Lambeau Field history. But he doesn't belong in the Ring of Honor. He's not going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is usually, to this point, for a player, you know, the bar you have to go over to get into the Ring of Honor. Names like Reggie White and Bart Starr in the Ring of Honor. That's not Al Harris. Fans bringing up the name of Donald Driver. Now, I understand why people want Donald Driver up there. I understand the emotional attachment to Donald Driver. But again, Donald Driver is not a Ring of Honor player. He's just not. Yes, he is the all-time leading receiver, having caught passes from both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in his career. But he is not. He's been on the receiving end of a lot of memorable passes, a lot of memorable touchdowns, a lot of memorable moments. But he is not one of the greatest players to ever play the game of football in the NFL, which Reggie White most certainly was. And Bart Starr most certainly was. And Brett Favre, another question tonight on Twitter, will Brett Favre go in the Ring of Honor? Of course Brett Favre will go in the Ring of Honor, and Brett Favre was most certainly one of the greatest to ever play the game of football at the NFL level. That's not even a question. No matter what you think of him, no matter what you feel about him, no matter what your opinion is of Brett Favre, he'll most certainly go in the Ring of Honor. He'll most certainly have his number retired. Those are the players that go in the Ring of Honor, not the Al Harrises and the Donald Drivers. Someone did bring up Charles Woodson. Now, I think that's a very interesting case. I think Charles Woodson has a very good chance, actually. If he continues playing at, you want to say at the level he's playing at, I'd like to see a few more interceptions for all the chances he's taking. But, you know, he's played at a very high level in Green Bay since he has been signed as a free agent from Oakland. Couple that with his years in Oakland, he's most likely going to, with a championship under his belt, maybe another one or two even, you got to think his chances for getting into Canton are very good. And with that, his chances of being put in the Ring of Honor are very good. He's a seminal playmaker. He's the heartbeat of that defense. And as Mike McCarthy is fond of saying, he's the best player on that team. He's the best football player on that team. One day, that will obviously be Aaron Rodgers. All-around football player, Charles Woodson, probably the most talented, best player on that team. And I think Aaron Rodgers would agree. So I think, you know, Charles Woodson definitely will go up there eventually. Not definitely. I think he has a good chance to be up there eventually. I think Aaron Rodgers definitely will go up there at some point. And from this team, this squad, this era, I think that's what you've got so far. We'll see who emerges. Speaking of players and honors and where they rank and who should be honored for what, the Pro Bowl votes are in. The Pro Bowl announcements. Oh, such a fun time of year. The overreaction is palpable. People, again, if you've been listening, reading, slash, you know, watching Packer Transplants, reading Cheesehead TV, anything along, you know, these last few years, you know I could care less about the Pro Bowl. It's a glorified scrimmage that means absolutely nothing except that players and their families can, you know, have a nice getaway to Hawaii, down to Florida that one year, but nice getaway to Hawaii. Their agents are very happy because they are reaching bonuses in their contracts sometimes. Players are happy for those bonuses, obviously. But, you know, the game, it's who cares? I mean, please, half the guys don't show up. I could care less. What I find interesting is the, you know, the overblown outrage from not just fans. And actually, I think fans are, you know, better about this than some media members. There are some media members who, oh, the Pro Bowl snubs and, oh, who, what, where, why, what? How is Jordy Nelson left off the Pro Bowl? Because Jordy Nelson doesn't belong in the Pro Bowl. Come on, people. Yes, Jordy Nelson has had a fabulous year. He's had a fantastic year facing number two and number three cornerbacks in single coverage because the defense is drawn to Finley and Jennings. I mean, let's be real. Look at it. The most amazing catch he's had this year came with Will Blackman in coverage. Will Blackman, who was out of the league for most of the year, signed by the Giants in a desperate move because they had, you know, a real problem with their corner situation. Signed, put out there, thrown out there against the Packers to guard Jordy Nelson one-on-one. Good luck with that, Will. You know, I'm not saying Will, you know, I'm not saying Will Blackman is like, you know, a high school player out there. He's an NFL caliber player, just at the bottom rung. And Jordy Nelson has made those guys look silly. Fast forward to the Kansas City Chiefs game, where not all that safety help is going away to Jennings because he's not there. All of a sudden, there's safety help over by Nelson. All of a sudden, Jordy Nelson isn't making as much noise as he was previously. Now, obviously, he had a big game against the Bears. Nice bounce back game. Fantastic. I'd say a bit of that is due to Mike McCarthy's design. A bit of that is due to Mike McCarthy knowing, you know, the matchups, what he needs to do to get Jordy free. He had the big shot play, the big touchdown. They've run that a couple times this year, obviously. A couple times to Nelson. This time getting Nelson singled up on Major Wright. I hope Nelson can beat Major Wright. I mean, come on. One thing you will notice about that play, by the way, if you go back and look at it, Jordy runs that thing almost exactly like Greg runs it. It's great. Right down to the head movement. It's a fantastic play. Greg has taught him well. Or if not taught him well, he's put enough on tape for Jordy to copy. Because it's fantastic. It's great. He knows just when. Seriously, go back and look at the play. You'll see Jordy Nelson running. He turns his head. And as he turns his head, as soon as he sees Major Wright turn his hips, he's got him. And once Wright's hips are turned, he makes the break back to the post for the touchdown. It's beautiful. Go back and watch it. But you know, the Pro Bowl, great. Fantastic. I'm glad they get to go to Hawaii. Wonderful. Have a great time. I doubt I'll watch because the Packers won't be in it because they'll be in the Super Bowl again. That said, all right. Enough negativity from Nagler. That's what this podcast should be called. Negativity from Nagler. But let's get to your questions. Newcastle's with Nagler. Hashtagged on Twitter. A couple good ones today. This one comes from Jason, who says, which position do you see as top priority, not including signing current players, to address in the offseason? Obviously, Jason referring to Ted Thompson, preferring to sign his own guys rather than go out and look at guys, you know, in free agency. But you know, what position should the Packers be looking at outside of the team? Obviously, I think that will probably be addressed in the draft. I doubt he'll look much in free agency as usual, but you never know. He may surprise. But I think more than anything else, he's got to look at defensive line. He's got to look at outside linebacker, although we've been saying outside linebacker for 3 years now. And for 3 years, he's kind of ignored it. He's brought in some, undrafted free agents after trading up for Clay Matthews. Maybe he thought he paid so much for Matthews that he didn't want to expend any other, you know, resources on the other side. But in the last couple games, you got to admit that that side opposite of Matthews has looked pretty pedestrian, if not downright bad. I won't say pathetic or awful, but I'll say bad. I mean, it got so bad against the Bears, they put Vic Sooto in there. And, boy, is that kid green. He is green. He's got some good explosion. He got off blocks a couple times, which I found nice. And he set the edge a couple times against the run, which was promising. But, man, he's got a – there were a couple times where he beat a guy, and it looks like he can't believe he beat a guy. Like, seriously. It looks like he disengages from the block really well. He gets the guy's hands off of him, and it's great. And he's got a beeline to the quarterback. But he does it in a way where he breaks the guy's hands off of him, and then he's like, oh, yeah, I got to rush the quarterback. Right. I mean, this kid's got to learn. There's no stop. There's no pause. There's no, okay, it's not one and then the other thing and then the other thing. It's go, full steam, all the way. But, yeah, that's how desperate they are. They've put Vic Sooto in there, someone who I thought for sure would never see the field because of how green he is. But here they are in a game against the Chicago Bears when it's 21-10. They figure they're up by enough now where they can throw in the rookie who's green as grass and see what he's got. The undrafted rookie who played defensive end in college, put him out there at outside linebacker and see what they've got because that's how desperate they are. And they even put him at defensive end for a little bit. Dom Capers ran a 4-4, people, in case you missed it, on Sunday night because his defense was getting gashed so badly on the ground. He put in a 4-4 and still got run over. They still got run all over. That's how bad it's gotten on defense. Yes, they need Ryan Pickett back. I wrote about this week on CheeseheadTV.com. Check it out. The defense. I know lots of people up in arms. Oh, the defense is going to cost us a championship. The defense is going to get plowed over in the playoffs. No, 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 no. The defense is going to bounce back. They'll get back Pickett. They'll get back, you know, a better Desmond Bishop who looked definitely a little out of sorts on Sunday night. A.J. Hawk has got nowhere to go but up after Sunday night because he was downright awful. But they'll play better. Dom will have them playing better. All those guys, Kevin Green, Darren Perry, they'll all have their guys playing better for the playoffs. Now, is it going to be magical? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be a wow factor? You're going to say, wow, where did this defense come from? No. No, it'll be the same defense. It'll be the defense that makes you pull your hair out a little bit because they give up so much yardage, but they'll still stop people in the red zone. They'll still be forcing field goals rather than allowing touchdowns, and that's all they need. They need to do just enough. Just enough. Even just one turnover and make them kick more field goals and they score touchdowns. And that's enough. Anyway, one other Newcastles with Nagler question I wanted to get in comes from Joe in Arizona who writes, what team presents the biggest threat to the Packers in the playoffs? The 49ers or the Saints or some other? I say the 49ers, but most say the Saints. Well, you did just hear me, Joe, go off about how I think Packer fans are getting worked up way, way too much about this subject. But if I had to pick a team, I would say the Saints, much more so than the 49ers. I truly think the Packers would, you know, probably have trouble with the 49ers to open. I think they would probably score quick, much like you saw against Chicago, and then kind of fall into kind of a rut once the 49ers settled down. The Packers have this tendency to, you know, once Mike has had his openers out and done his thing, kind of feeling each other out. You've seen it quite a bit this year, actually. But I think in the second half they would kind of open up and get a pretty commanding lead that the 49ers just couldn't overcome on offense. I think they could run the ball. I think they'd be kicking a lot of field goals. I mean, this is a 49er team that is pathetic in the red zone. And the Packers, if nothing else on defense, have shown the ability to, you know, clamp down when it gets into the red zone against teams. So I think the 49ers would just not be able to score enough to keep up with the Packers. The Saints, on the other hand, I think obviously could score enough. I think Drew Brees in the elements is just another quarterback than he is inside in a dome. You saw the spectacular display he put on Monday night, against the Falcons, where he broke Dan Marino's record. You've seen it all year. He's just been incredible. But you've also seen that outside on grass, in the elements, he's a different quarterback. You've also seen him throw quite a few interceptions, not only just on the road, but at home as well. You saw him forcing balls into double coverage on Monday night. And it's something that Aaron Rodgers doesn't do. And that's all the Packers need, is that one turnover to get that extra possession, to get a couple more points to beat the Saints. And I think if nothing else, that's what would happen. If the Packers got out far enough, I think they could bait Brees into one or two turnovers. And I know last time they played, Nick Collins caused the turnover, who's no longer with us, and that was a Colson fumble and not a Drew Brees interception. But I just think that in a shootout in the elements, that favors the Packers much more so than the Saints, just because Drew Brees is not made for that kind of environment. But again, this is just me talking. This is why they play the games. Stats, you can throw all the stats you want. You get in the elements in Lambeau in January. It's just nothing that's come before matters. Look at the game against Seattle, where Ryan Grant ran for over 200 yards. That heading into that game, everyone was worried about the matchup with Kearney on the left side against Mark Tauscher. And, you know, Tauscher totally blanked him. And no one saw that coming. Everyone thought it would be a big battle. And it proved to be absolutely nothing. And Ryan Grant was, you know, started out as the GOAT, you know, helping Seattle get to 14-0 to lead, but early on in the game. And then ended up an absolute hero, running for over 200 yards in a decisive Packers victory. It's just, you see time and time again in Lambeau, in the playoffs, everything that passed before is just a bit different because of the elements, because of the tension, the drama, the stakes, the scale. It all adds up, and I just think these Packers, the way they're built, the way they've played in Lambeau, this season especially, they're going to be tough to beat. And I just don't see another team coming in there and beating them. That's just me. Call me a homer. Say I've got green and gold glasses. You won't be the first to say it. But when I'm right, I will crow about it, and you'll be here to listen. Thank you so much for joining me yet again for Newcastle's with Nagler while we are on hiatus with Packer transplants. I promise we will be back shortly after the new year. Corey and I and some great guests. We've already talked to a few people. A couple of surprises in store for you. I think you'll be very excited to hear. And I have to give a shout out before I leave. Have to give a shout out to Fran in London. You may know him on Twitter as @baboons. Yes, @baboons. For making my intro music that you heard tonight, and you'll hear soon as my outro music, Moves Like Nagler, set obviously to Moves Like Jagger by Maroon 5, with the vocal stylings of one Aaron Rodgers. Fran, just absolutely fantastic, fantastic work. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining me tonight, for listening to my babbling. Hopefully Packer transplants be back in your life sooner rather than later. Thank you so much for joining us. Check out cheeseheadtv.com. Check out all the stuff from Brian Caravu, from Max Ginsburg, from Andrew Garda. Check out Railbird Central in the mornings, Packer Transplants and Newcastles with Nagler. Check out all our posts. Thank you so much. CheeseheadTV.com, Newcastles with Nagler. I'm Aaron Nagler. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Nagler.